me to go on, no need to try. Even if there is a rapture, you'll never make it in. I just say, Satan,
oh, yes.
I'll prove you a liar.
Oh, we're going to keep pressing on. Oh, we're going to keep pressing on.
Pressing on.
We're going to keep pressing on.
Pressing on.
Oh, how many of you are going to keep pressing on? Yes, we're gonna keep pressing on
and on and on.
Church, we're pressing on.
Keep pressing on.
We're gonna keep pressing on.
Pressing on.
Of our Lord. Hallelujah. Well, is that your desire tonight to keep pressing on? Yes. Certainly it is. There's no looking back. There's no giving up. There's no quitting. It's pressing on time. Somebody say, I'm pressing on. Now shake somebody's hand and say, press on with me. Shake somebody's hand and tell them to press on with you tonight. Play some more of that song, brothers. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to keep pressing on. Press on, buddy. Press on, boys. Hallelujah. Press on, boys. Praise the Lord. Sing that verse for me again, buddy.
No, Satan tries to stop me.
Yes, he does.
Turn me aside. Say no need for me to go on. No need to try. Even if there is a rapture in heaven, you'll never make it in. I just say, Satan, I'll prove you a liar again.
I'm gonna keep pressing on.
On and on and on.
I'm pressing on.
Keep pressing on.
We're gonna keep pressing on.
Pressing on.
Higher calling of our Lord. Now, Satan will try to stop you, turn you aside. There's no need for you to go on. I wouldn't even try. Even if there was a rapture, you'd never make it in. I'll just say, Satan, I'm gonna prove you're alive again.
I'm gonna keep pressing on.
Yes, we are.
I keep pressing on.
Hallelujah.
I gotta keep pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord. Little bride, keep pressing on.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise if you love Him. With all of your heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I guess you heard my hallelujah real good and loud, didn't you? Can I put this back on now? Oh, bless the Lord. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, isn't it? I know Brother Curtis Hunnell's glad to be here. He's back in service tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. Brother Curtis, God bless you. Certainly glad to have our brother back in the house of the Lord tonight.
One of our soldiers made a crossing this morning. Brother Doug McKinney went on to his reward. I know that that comes as a surprise because we thought he was just going in to have some stents put into his heart, and the Lord had other plans. So I'm sure if he could say something to you tonight, it would be this: press on. Keep pressing on. What you're singing about, what you're living for, it's more real than you could ever imagine. Press on. How many of you want to press on with all your heart? Let's sing that verse one more time. With all your heart, Brother Harry, I want you to sing it. What does old Satan try to do to us?
Oh, Satan tries to stop me, turn me aside. Say no need for me to go on. No need to
try.
Even if there's a rapture and a heaven, you'll never make it in. But I just say, hey, Satan,
oh,
watch me prove you alive
again.
I'm gonna
keep pressing on.
On and on and on.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, we're talking about Brother Doug McKinney. We just want to pray for his family, the two boys, Sister Yvonne, that the Lord would just be with them, all the family that's concerned. Just ask God to help them and be with them during this time. That I know he's more than able. We're certainly going to miss our brother, but I tell you what, we're all trying to get there. We're all trying to get there. Amen. Sister Martha Ann Johnson, if you would care to stand with me just for a few minutes, she wants to thank the Lord for a safe journey to and from Tallahassee, Florida, to take her mother home. Also wants to thank the Lord for bringing her mother through the opening of two main kidney arteries. Stents was placed in while she was there, and everything went well. So they just want to thank the Lord for that, and glad she's back home with us. Sister Jan Winters, legs very swollen, requesting prayer tonight. So let's pray for our sister. Sister Shirley Robbins has an earache. Let's pray for her tonight that the Lord would help her. I want to pray for Brother Howard Collins, who had an epidural shot in his back today, is asking for prayer. Also remember Michaela and Sister Yvette in prayer that the Lord would touch them. They're sick in body. An unspoken prayer request for Brad Gilbert. The Lord knows all about that need tonight. We just commit him unto the Lord. Ask God to help him. Please pray for Sister Boone. She got sick today and passed out, fell on her face, and bruised herself up and scratched herself up. But thank the Lord, the doctors didn't think that she has any broken bones. So praise the Lord for that. Let's pray for our precious sister that the Lord would just help her. She's a champion in my book, and I appreciate her. Prayer request for Brother and Sister Altman, traveling to his sister's funeral. I believe she was in Pennsylvania, passed away, and they're asking that we would remember that family in prayer for traveling mercy and just the comfort that the Lord would place in their heart during this loss. I want to pray for Brother Tracy. He's having an ultrasound on his legs in the morning. Brother Tracy, we just commit you to the Lord. Believe God will help you through that. An urgent prayer request for my daughter, who has the shingles and is in very much pain. Sister Joanne Tessa sends that in, so let's remember that need tonight. Mentioned Brother Curtis Huntle back in the service, and the Lord has brought him through quite a deal, but thank God he's here in the service, and we praise the Lord for that. Brother Chuck Siminski sends this in for Lucille Grunganis. Cancer of the liver and other parts of her body that has cancer. They're asking that we would remember her. Also, Basil Blackburn, he's visiting in the morning
with his cancer doctor. They're asking that we would pray for him. Megan Vess, suffering from leukemia in St. Jude's down in Memphis. Greg Cox needs the Lord and a full-time job. And for Brother Chuck himself to be more stable and steadfast in the Lord and full-time employment. So we're asking the Lord would grant those requests. We believe God can do that. And we certainly do. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have something tonight you'd like for this group to pray about, we'll just commit these things unto the Lord. While I'm just saying this tonight, Brother Doug McKinney's service will be here Friday evening at the church. The viewing will be from 5 until 7 and the service to follow. So remember that. That'll be Friday evening here at the church from 5 to 7, the viewing, and then the service to follow. So we've got a lot to pray about, got a lot to thank the Lord for. He is so wonderful to us, isn't he? We appreciate him with all our heart. Do you love him better than everything in the world? Does he mean the world to you tonight? Brother Jim Maxwell, I want you to come tonight. Lead us to the Lord in prayer. Here's another, just a blessing from the Lord that God has placed in our assembly. And we love our brother, don't we? We certainly do. Appreciate Brother Jim. He's not so old that I'm helping him, but I put him on the spot tonight. We love you, Brother Jim.
Heavenly Father, we just come this evening, Lord, and I hear my brother Terry Horn say many times, Lord, it's an honor, it's a privilege to be able to come to the house of God. Lord, it's just such a privilege, Lord, and to be able to hear the things that we're privileged to be able to hear, Lord, makes me think that the prophets and sages of old, they longed to see this day, Lord, and here we are right in the midst of it, Lord. We're so thankful and we're so grateful, Father. And Lord, as we come tonight, Father, we just asking that we would just come with an open heart and open mind, Lord, to receive the things that you have for us, Lord. May we lay aside all of our preconceived thoughts, Lord, about what we think the Bible says and what the message says and even what we think about ourselves, Lord. May we look and see what you have for us tonight, Father, is our prayer. Heavenly Father, as we bring these requests before you, Lord, serious needs amongst the people, Father. But Lord, I'm a witness that I believe, Lord, that you're in complete and total control of all things, Lord. And Lord, as we approach these requests, Lord, as I thought about something our pastor said that you spoke to him, Lord, sometimes it's yes and sometimes it's no. And Lord, we don't know what it is, but we know, Father, that you're in complete and total control, and we just want to commit every situation into your hands, Father, knowing it's working for our good. Not everything may be good, Lord, but it's working for our good. That's the confidence that we have in you. So, Lord, we just come tonight. We present to you every aspect of this service, Lord. I pray that you'll take complete control of it, Lord, and most of all, Lord, take complete and total control of our lives, Lord, that it would be pleasing to you, Father. We commit ourselves in this service into your hands. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That's another one of my heroes right there. Well, you're all heroes in my book. But just look around beside you tonight. Look at everyone who's standing beside. Just look at them. Take a second, look at them. You made it till Wednesday. You still love the Lord. You still got the grace of God in your life. Give the Lord a good hand clap for keeping you tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. I even like you. Let's sing a song tonight. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Do you feel like pledging your allegiance all over again to him? For what he means to you? For what he's done for you? For where he's brought you from? You couldn't have got here by yourself. It took somebody bigger than you to get you here. Give the Lord another big hand clap of praise if you love him.
I have heard how Christ.
Let's sing it now.
Long ago, brought before a tyrant's stone, they were told that he would spare their lives. If they would renounce the name of Christ, one by one they chose to die.
Yes, they did.
The Son of God they would not deny, like a great angelic choir sings. I can almost hear their voices ring.
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all my hand. I will sing to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to
have gone.
Oh, say it, buddy.
But the cause of Jesus, tonight
it still goes on.
Now our time has come for us to count the cost,
to reject this world and embrace
our cross.
One by one, let us live our lives
for the one life,
till the trumpet sounds
on that final day.
Hallelujah!
Let us proudly stand
and boldly say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will see
the cause of Jesus
still marching on.
Now our time has come
for
us to count the cost, to reject this world and embrace our cross. One by one, let us live our lives for the one who died to give life,
till the trumpet sounds
on that final day.
Let us proudly stand
and boldly say,
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb,
to the
with
Lamb,
all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor pledge allegiance to the Lamb,
to the Lamb of God, who bore my pain, who took my place, who wore my shame. I will seek to honor His commands.
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb,
to the Lamb.
Oh, praise the Lord. Well, you're just singing so good tonight. May God bless you. Lord willing, tomorrow night, I'm gonna put these guys on the spot, along with myself. Tomorrow night, we're going to learn some new songs. And the Lord willing, by this weekend, we're going to be singing them with you. We'll have them on the screen. We're going to learn some new songs. The Lord willing, this weekend, I believe you're going to like them. I know you're going to love the way this guy here sings. Give Brother Harry a good hand if you would. You know, I've heard it said by lots and lots of people, and I tend to agree with them. We've got one of the finest group of musicians in the country. I mean that. I love you guys. Just do wonderful. These guys just do a wonderful job. And the ones that fill in when they're not here, they do a wonderful job. The Lord is just so good to us. He just blessed us. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. We didn't get the offering yet, did we? No, I see them baskets still laying there. Brethren, come and get the money tonight, if you will. Let's receive an offering. We'll just sing a little chorus. We sang it the other night. I don't know if you was here or not. I've got a longing. I'm homesick to go. What key we did that in? You remember? Was it G? What is that, G? Let's see if we can do that little chorus. I've got a longing. I'm homesick to go. Praise the Lord. Well, I've got a longing. I'm homesick to go to a land without heartaches, no sorrow or woe. There's nothing but trouble in this world below. Oh, I'm homesick for heaven. I've got a longing to go. Sing it now. Yes, I've got a longing. I'm homesick to go up to a land without heartache, no sorrow or woe. There's nothing but trouble in this world below. Well, I'm homesick for heaven. I've got a longing to go. One more time. Yes, I've got a longing. I'm homesick to go up to a land without heartache, no sorrow or woe. There's nothing but trouble in this world below. Oh, I'm homesick for heaven. I've got a longing to go. Hallelujah. Brother Brandon Green. Brother Brandon, where is he at? He's got a song for us tonight. If he'll come at this time. I certainly enjoy our brother's music and love to hear him sing, don't you? Give him a nice hand as he comes tonight.
Check 1, 2. Good to be home tonight. Temporary home, amen. Nothing can wash away my sin. Nothing can wash away my sin. Nothing can wash away my sin. Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can wash away my sin. Nothing can wash away my sin. Nothing can wash away my sin. Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And nothing can bring me peace with God. Nothing can bring me peace with God. Nothing can bring me peace with God. Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can make the devil run. Nothing can make the devil run. Nothing can make the devil run. Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Play it, Brother Larry. Nothing can make your people one. Nothing can make your people one. Nothing can make your people one. Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can wash away my sin. Nothing can wash away my sin. Nothing can wash away my sin. Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. How about Brother Gary? Nothing can make your people one. Nothing can make your people one. Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Appreciate that tonight. Thank God. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 41, if you would. 1 Corinthians 15, 41. Because of that blood is what makes us accepted tonight in the presence of God. 1 Corinthians 15, 41. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon. Another glory of the stars. One star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. Well, from that, I'd like to speak to you this evening for just a bit on the resurrection in the second Adam. The resurrection in the second Adam. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight, Father, as we just heard our brother singing about your blood and how grateful we are for your precious blood. The atonement that once and for all made an expiation of our sins. Not that it would have to be offered once a year, but it was offered once forever. And it's the same atonement that Peter and those believers on the day of Pentecost received from that life. And there's not had to have been another one made for 2,000 years. And if time would go on for 10,000 years, 20,000 years, 30,000 years, that one atonement would be enough from now on to the very end. And we're so grateful tonight, Lord, that we have that applied to our lives. Because of that, then we are included in this resurrection of what we're looking for. How grateful we are, Lord Jesus, to know. Father, as our Brother Doug McKinney went to the hospital this morning to have a procedure done on his heart and didn't know, nor did his wife or his children or any of us, that this would be his last day on earth. But Lord God, how grateful we are that we can live every day of our lives knowing that if today were to be our last, we can be ready. Lord Jesus, I pray for his family, for his friends here at the church. Lord God, that you would help us. Father, me speaking with him last night. And Lord God. Lord, just hearing him, Father, being so weak he could hardly talk. And Lord, I didn't know that'd be the last time that I'd hear his voice. So we don't know when it will be the last time that we'll see one another. So we want to live every moment of our life, Lord Jesus, in a way that you'll be pleased with us. Help each of us tonight, Father, I pray. Speak to us as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Aren't you glad to be a part of the resurrection? I'm glad that the resurrection is not an event to the elect, but it's actually a life. It's something that is unfolding in our lives even tonight. As we have gathered in this place and the Word of God is quickening us to more understanding and illuminating us, we're seeing a further advancement of the resurrection of the seed life that's taken place in us. In an hour of darkness and trouble, never been such a time on the face of the earth as was it is right now. Sickness everywhere, trouble everywhere, all kinds of things going on everywhere. People don't have, you know, they don't have the answers for the day. Brother Tim and I sitting yesterday having lunch, and I told him, I said, buddy, can you imagine living in this world? If people with their money, people buying guns and buying this and trying to buy food because they don't know what's going to happen and this is going to happen, they're scared about this, scared about something else. Can you imagine where you'd be if you didn't know what's fixing to take place? Can you imagine how we'd all be tore up and so nervous, you know, about this and that and the other? But friends, we've got a hope tonight. We have got a promise in the Word of God. We may not know all the ins and the outs and how every little event is going to transpire, but we do know the big picture, that God has got it all in control. You know, whether it's the politics, whether it's the economy, whether it's this, that, the other, God is going to take care of His people. You believe that? Now, knowing that, then we have the promise, unlike the rest of the world, even Christendom that does not really know what's going to happen in this last day. They wonder and they presume and they try to look at it by studying the Logos. They try to read the prophecies that they do know and try to figure it out. What's going to happen here and how's this going to happen and what's the mark of the beast? What's the economy going to lead to? But you know, really, for the most part, it doesn't really give them very much hope to know what's going to happen. But we know as the bride of Christ, there may be an element of pressure and an element of stress that God will allow us to go through. But before it reaches that certain place, where it's at, I don't know. I don't think that any other person can actually say. But there is a certain place that God will let it rise to, and beyond that, He'll not let His bride stay here any longer. Now, as I said, I don't know where that place is, that element of pressure, that element of stress, but I do know that He has promised He will not let us go through more than what we're able to bear. But with every temptation, He'll make a way for us to escape that we might be able to bear. There will come a time in this age that we're living in, this time frame, that God will say, everything has been fulfilled. It's all been completed. I don't want my sweetheart being there no more. I'm going to get her. This is the end of it. Now, what will we see before that time? I have no idea. I don't know how difficult it might be. I don't know what the economy is going to get to, but I know this. David said, I'm old, and I was once young, and I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I don't know about your God, but my God is still able to put meal in the barrel. My Father is able to put oil in a cruise. I stood several years ago in the little sister's house in India. Many of y'all read the story. I've stood right there in her house or talked to the sister and saw the little sister that God did that in this day. Not several thousand years ago, but in this day. I believe there's people right here in this building tonight that can believe God for the same thing. Or you say, gas is going to get so high. Let me tell you something. If you want to go to church, if it gets $57 a gallon, if God can multiply wine, surely multiply gas. Somebody gonna get drunk on wine. All I'm gonna do is go to church on gas. Can't God fill up my tank on gas? Don't sit there and look at me funny. That's the kind of God I believe we've got. I believe He's mindful of where we are. He's mindful of all the things that we're going through. He's mindful of where we are. If this is what it takes to bring us to the hour that we need to be, I say, Lord, pour it on us. Now, I don't look forward to it. I don't long for it any more than you do. But if that's what it takes to bring the change on us, then so be it. Now, the resurrection in the second Adam. If the fall came in the first Adam as the head of the race, the initiation and the beginning of life started in him. And God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. And Adam became an eternal person with God. Then by representation, every person died in Adam. So God had to bring another Adam on the earth, and through a different representation would be able to bring a new type of life. With that would come a new order. Now it is actually the beginning of a new race. It's not a black race. It's not a white race. It's not Chinese. But it is a new race, a created race by God, where it will be made up of different cultures, different races of people on the earth. But they will all come through one head, and that is through the second Adam. Now the resurrection for the bride, she must be identified as Eve was actually brought to the earth. Her existence initially was in Adam. But when God opened up the side of Adam and gave to Eve her body and took Adam, Adam's spirit, and gave to her her spirit, actually her resurrection or her birth come out of her husband. So when God opens the side of Adam, Adam is actually giving a birth to his wife. So he gives the substance and the things necessary for Eve to be able to come to exist on the earth. So her resurrection, her life actually comes out of her husband. So if God did that to the first Adam and it was a life which could have an end, then how much more will the second Adam be able to propagate those of his beloved bride? Now they will, though, in the natural, the body they live in will die, but they themselves can never die because they are of eternal quality. Now, the resurrection then, the first resurrection, is in the second Adam. Now, we know Jesus spoke in the book of St. John, and he said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, and now is when all of those that are in the graves will hear the voice of the Son of God. Some will come forth to the resurrection of damnation, some to the resurrection of righteousness. And we know that here he sets forth two resurrections which are imminent by the spoken word of God. But only the elect will come forth to the resurrection of life. The other resurrection is a general resurrection in which they will be raised up, and then they will answer for what they've heard. But the second resurrection is actually not in Adam as if the bride's resurrection is. Because the very life that you and I live, as I said, the resurrection to the elect, is not some future event. We're going to experience something that we've never experienced before. To the elect of God, the resurrection is the culmination of something that started whenever they were born again by the new birth. Because the resurrection started in you when that seed of God, that Logos of God, was quickened by the Holy Ghost.
Don't you see what you received inside of you, what I received inside of me at my birth? It was Logos. That's what was in Jesus. It was not Rhema that was in Jesus. Jesus' body was not Rhema. It was Logos. That's what could die on the cross. You cannot kill God. You cannot kill Rhema. But if God moves in such a way and transmits that to where the Logos, that part of the word which has no life, and we know that the Logos, the letter, killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. You were in Him when He walked on the shores of Galilee. Oh, you say, I don't remember it. No, you don't remember it neither. You remember when you was in your daddy when he was a 5-year-old boy. But you was. You was in your daddy when he was a teenager. Yes, you was. But yet you could not know Him until you received your own manifestation and through the mixing of His chromosomes and your mother's and the mixing of the genes to the bedding ground. Then you come to the earth and then you was able to look up at your daddy and say, Daddy. How could you do it? Because you become the manifestation of something that was in Him. Same with the bride. My, you may have walked around on this earth and drunk and smoked and act like the devil and lived like the devil and even looked like the devil. But there was the seed of God down inside of you that was ordained to eternal life. What did it need? All it needed was the resurrection of the S-O-N of God to shine upon you. You might have sat in a message church for years. You may have listened to tapes for years. But when the sun come up, it's resurrection time. And when it did, it started you in the direction of a body change. Oh, glory. Now notice this in verse 45, Paul says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man, Adam, was a quickening spirit. Now why does it not say that Jesus was made a living soul? Jesus had a soul, for His soul would be an offering. But why does it not say that Jesus was made a living soul? Now, the apostle draws a parallel between the two Adams because from there becomes the head of two races, two separate races. Now, whenever he does, the first Adam was made a living soul, but the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So he compares. Now, the word soul, when we think about soul, we bring it to the New Testament. We actually bring it to the message as well. But when you look at the original word that it puts in and the way that it said, this is where Paul is writing it from. Now, when Paul writes this, he's not talking about in the sense of we think, okay, well, soul being a predestinated seed, and in that seed is the soul, and that was a soul that come from God. This is not where Paul is coming from when he writes this word. But he's looking at what all mankind was whenever they come from the original tree, which was Adam. And this was where every one of us had our natural beginning on the earth, that we were also a living soul. Now, we were a soul in an animal body. Now, if we're looking at what God did in the beginning of God, in the beginning when God said, let us make man in our own image, after the image of God made He him, male and female created He them, and He called their name Adam, and God blessed them and said, multiply and replenish. Now, Adam was still spirit when God said that. He was not even flesh himself. So he could not fulfill that while he was yet in spirit. And he could not even fulfill it when God gave him a body. But he must have a counterpart which must have a body like his. Now notice the assimilation of God's word as it keeps unfolding that God speaks to him while he's yet word form. And whenever the word form becomes flesh form, he still cannot fulfill that word. So whatever happened to that word? Because when Adam knew his wife in the Garden of Eden, he knew her after a sexual law of reproduction. He did not know her after spiritual multiplication of speaking the word. So whatever happened to that word when God spoke to Adam and said, multiply and replenish? Oh, you said that's when he had sex desire. Oh, no, it was not. Because that was the original word of God, and the original word of God cannot bring death. If you and I are the product of multiply and replenish, how was death mixed in with that word? Because that word is life. So what happened to that word? What if the first Adam of the first race did not carry that out? God's got to raise up another Adam and start another, glory to God, raise up another Adam and start another race and let that Adam take that word and speak to his wife, his Eve, and there will begin the spiritual multiplication of God. It don't make no difference to God if it's 1,000 years or 2,000 years or 5,000 years. If God said it, it will come to pass. Do you understand we are part of what God said in the book of Genesis as it happened there on the day of Pentecost when the head of this new race started speaking to his wife as Adam would have spoken, oh glory, as Adam would have spoken to his wife and she would have become a mother by the spoken word. Then Jesus comes down on the day of Pentecost, the very breath of God, and begins to speak to his wife. Amen. And she becomes a mother by the spoken word of God. What's she bringing forth? Children of God, of course. Out of her very existence, out of the church's womb, come those names that was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Glory to God. So our natural life began in the first Adam, and we became a living soul. But then God had this other part that must come out of his being, which was the second Adam. So the first one, being a living soul, would never be able to bring us to a place of reconciliation in the presence of God. So the second Adam must not just be a living soul, which is a soul in an animal body, but he must be a quickening spirit. Now notice the difference that the first Adam was a soulish, an animal in an animal body, a soulish man, a soulish creation in an animal body. Why? The animal body showed the kingdom he was going to rule over. Now, God did not put him in a mechanical body or a machine because then he would have been the king of machinery. If God would have put him in a building, a house, then he would have been the king of houses. But God put him in a flesh body. The body had a hand looked like a bear and had a foot that looked like something else. Why? It's very fitting for him to take on this type of a body because that displays his kingdom. Glory. Well, here comes the second Adam on the earth, and what does he do? He does not take on the body of angels. He does not take on the body of Melchizedek, but he takes on what kind of body? The body of his future kingdom. Glory. He takes on a flesh body, showing that the redeemed ones that will come from the second Adam, they will not be angels when they leave here. They will not be cherubims. They will not be zoons. They will be sons and daughters of God. They'll have hair and eyes and ears and a mouth and nose and toes and all that. Why? The very Creator himself took on that kind of body when he come to the earth. Lord Jesus. Now watch, Paul then identifies us, you know, as believers, having borne the image of the earthy, the natural man. Then we also must bear a second image, which will merge together in this natural strain of time as we're here. Now while we are here, we will bear the resemblance of both images of two Adams. Now in our bodies tonight, we can age, we can have sickness, we can have disease, and that is the resemblance of the first Adam. You know, Adam lived to be 930 years old, and you imagine when he was there in the Garden of Eden, how many ever years that was, or how many hundreds of years it was. He never got one day older as far as his looks. No wrinkles, no gray hair, no age. Nothing ever happened to him. But immediately when the holy image of God left him, something began to strike that man. It was called death. Now in our bodies, we have borne the image of the earthy. But once the transforming power begins to move in our soul, the quickening spirit of God moves inside this animal body, then what does it do? It changes you from a creature of time back into a reflection of eternity. And then you will bear while you're here on this earth two images. The image of the first man, Adam. You get weak, you get tired, you get weary, you get sick, you get wore out. But there's another image on the inside. That image don't get tired. It don't get down. It don't get wore out. It don't get weary. It don't say, I'm quitting. I'm leaving. I ain't coming back no more. Oh no, it can't say that stuff. It's born of God. Hallelujah. Notice this, he says, so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Look at this word. Psuche. The breath of life. The vital force which emanates the body and shows itself in breathing. Now notice, this is not the predestinated gene now that Brother Branham refers to as far as the seed soul that was in you. Look at this word now that Paul used to describe this part about us, this human part. Notice, this is not the seed that's in you. This is not the gene of God. This is the breath of life, the vital force, which animates animates the body and shows itself in breathing. That in which there is life, a living being. So Adam became a living soul. Adam was animated. He was standing there beginning when God made him, and he said, the prophet said, he stood there with his toes down in the ground like roots on a tree, and he was standing there lifeless, nothing moving, and the Spirit of God breathed into Adam's nostrils and he became a living soul. So what did he receive? The breath of life. That was not the seed soul. It was the breath of life. So it was a soul in an animal body. You following me? You're looking at me funny. It was a soul in an animal body. What did that soul do? It animated the body. So the body standing there dead, lifeless like this, and all of a sudden God comes by, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and then this breath begins to animate the body. So the body begins to move. The heart starts pumping, the kidney and the liver and all, you know, all these things that are going on inside the body. So the breath of life begins to animate the body. Was the breath of life his soul? No. It was not. He became a living soul. Taking the breath was not his soul. But once God breathes into him, he became a living soul. Now, if that is your soul, then when the breath of life is gone, then where's your soul go? Glory. But you see, for the elect, there is more than just the psuche. There is more than being animated. There is another animation that goes on down inside what? The seed. So when natural man dies without a true conversion, then that representation of what that man was must go into a prison house to where he is held. But not so with the elect of God. They have a representation of a gene in God's presence that was in God's mind before the world began. Then when that psuche goes out of their body and the spirit goes back to God who gave it, and what happens to their identity? It goes into the theophany body, which was prepared for them before the foundation of the world. Now the lost don't have those. Remember, the prophet even says about angels, it's only promised that the elect has angels. It's not promised that the unredeemed and the lost have angels, but the elect do. You believe that? Now watch this. He said, so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Look at this word, give life, to produce alive, beget or bear living young, by spiritual power to arouse and invigorate, to restore to life, to give increase of life. So the first Adam was made a living soul. So he become the breath of life come into this man, and now he's standing there. The body is no longer dead and lifeless and limp, but he begins to breathe. His lungs in and out, his pulse, his heart rate, on and on, however it all started happening in the first man, and he is now animated. And maybe he started learning how to move his fingers and then his hands and then his arms. He's just learning. He's the first human being on the earth. And something begins to animate him. But the second man, Adam, was not an animation. Oh, glory to God. He was not a cartoon character. He was not animated. He was a quickening spirit. Now notice what he is. The very object of what God desired him to be lays in the identity of describes his office. If he is just a soul, if he's just another repeat of Adam, the same thing will happen again. But he's not a repeat of Adam. He is a quickening spirit. He's not just a man with a soul, a man that can breathe, a man that can eat. He is a quickening spirit. He brings in him the life to beget young. So the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Pneuma, spirit. Pneuma, Holy Ghost, Spirit of God, Spirit of truth, Spirit of Christ. God's power and agency distinguishable in thought from his essence in itself considered. The disposition or influence which fills and governs the soul. Uh-oh. The something that now governs the soul. So what Jesus is not coming to be a repeat of Adam. He's coming to fill what Adam was. Oh, you say, glory to God. I can't wait till I get back to where Adam was. I want to go farther back. Yes, Brother Jerry, whatever it was that Adam had, he fell from it. I'm going to go where I can't never fall. I don't want to just go back to what Adam had because he fell. Is that true? I'm not sure what Adam had. I know he had a great walk with God. But don't you see, he is not coming to be a repeat of Adam. He's going to put us so far back into eternity, there's no way for us to ever fall again. There's no way. Why? Because he is the one who comes to invigorate. He's not here to animate us and just make us emotional. Oh, I love God. I love to go to church. That's not what we want. We don't want to be animated Christians. We want to be invigorated by life. We want to bring forth living young. Oh, glory. Not dead, folks. So the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The disposition or influence which fills and governs the soul of anyone, the efficient source of any power, affection, emotion, and desire. Now notice this in verse 46. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. Afterward, that which is spiritual. Now this is God's divine order in order to bring forth the supernatural purpose. If it was not so, had the spiritual been first, the natural would just by consecutive order of demand of God's word, the natural would have been submissive to the spiritual. So God allows the natural, the weaker part, to be brought forth first. If not, following in that divine order, the natural could not have fallen. You understand? You follow me? If God would have brought forth the perfection, the supernatural, the great part, if the last Adam would have been the first Adam, there'd been no need for the second Adam to be the third Adam, and the fourth Adam, and the sixth Adam. There would have never been a need for another Adam. But God brought forth the first Adam, the weaker one, a living soul. And then God brings forth the second Adam, a quickening spirit. If your new birth would have been first, and your flesh had automatically been subject, but your flesh was born first. If Jacob would have been born first, all of his family problems had been over. Ishmael and Isaac, same pattern. Same with you and you and you and you and me and me and you and you and you and you. If my soul had been born by the breath of God first, this old Donnie boy had been subject from the very birth that I'd draw the breath of life. But instead, this part was born first. What is it? The natural birth. God always rejects this first birth. God always rejects it. You know, you look at it, you think, why in the world would God allow such a thing? It's to exemplify his greatness, friends. It's to show the greatness of what he is. He covered all space, time, and eternity. But yet he thought of himself of becoming a human being. Lord have mercy. Why in the world would he want to become a human being when all we know about human beings is they're sick, they're liars, they're this and that and the other. But that's not the way he thought about them. He thought about a perfect human being that would live on this earth in a human body, not an angelic body, not a seraphim body, but to live on this earth in a human body that have eyes glorified, fingers glorified, tongues glorified, feet glorified, and they'd be able to live forever, forever and ever and ever in a glorified human body and never die. That's what he thought. I want to become that. Oh, glory. But if he'd have brought Jesus first, your father would have put Jesus in the Garden of Eden instead of Adam. There could have been no fall. And if father would have given Jesus his bride in the Garden of Eden, there could have never been an expression of sin. So he gives the weaker son to Adam's. But he expresses the weaker one first. And he becomes not a quickening spirit, but he becomes a living soul. So he's animated. He can think and he can choose and he can move around. And then God reserves the second Adam for the greater work. You say, I don't know why in the world God ever let me in this age. You found favor in his eyes. I'll tell you one thing. If I could have stood over on the brink of eternity and Father had showed me the whole plan, said, now look, here's Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, Brother Branham. Here's days of Pentecost. Here's a martyrdom. What day you want to live? I'd have chose this day right here. It's the hardest, most difficult, crazy, nerve-wracking, most difficult time a person could ever live. Me and my nuts, I'd think, yep, that's the one I want, Lord. That's exactly the one I want. I wouldn't want to choose the easy going, you know. No, no. I'd say, God, you know, where do you want me to go? First of all, where do you want me to go? Wherever you want me to go, that's where I want to go. But looking at the way I look, I think, Brother Dallas, God, let me live there. Let me live in that last day. God, if I've got the type of character and integrity that I can stand for you in the last day, and when the dust is all settled and the smoke is all passed, let me be standing there waving the bloodstained banner of Jesus and say, I made it. I made it by the grace of God. Oh, I don't want to hide under a rock somewhere and say, hide me here till it all passes over. But let me live in this evil day. Let me walk in this evil day. Let me talk in this evil day. Let me point people to where life is in this evil day. Notice the order now of divine providence. However, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. Afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Paul didn't say one of them, but he said the Lord. He wasn't one of them, there's two left, but he said, this is the man himself. This ain't no secretary, this is him. Amen. The first man is of the earth, earthy. That's you! Your first birth is of the earth, earthy. Hold on now. And the second man is the Lord from heaven. Now you are not the Lord, but you are from the Lord. Now, if you have bore the image of the natural Adam, shall not the elect of God bear the image of the second Adam? Which is what? Not just a being with a soul that's an animated animal body, but it will be quickened by the very essence of the life of God himself. This is why he comes. He comes to break open his own being, to share the nature of the second Adam with second Adam predestinated seeds. Are all second Adam seeds? Of course not. They wasn't all second Adam seeds in the garden. One of them was the seed of Adam, the other one was the seed of the serpent. That's right. Notice this now, verse 48. As is the earthy. Notice he's not saying earthly. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Well, that would mean that you come from heaven then. Now, you'll agree with me, to be earthly, you had to come from the earth. Is that right? So if you was originally from Mars, and then you moved here from Mars, and then we'd call you what? A Martian. Right? A Plutonian or whatever you'd have, or you'd say that, or wherever you come from. But you know what? Since you was of the earth, then we would say, you are earthy the way we are earthy. Right? But now notice, that's only the first Adam. That's only that life which is animated by soul, which is able to animate you to make you a human being. But there are some on this earth that also have a heavenly origin. So some are earthy, they remain earthy, they die earthy, their bodies will go back to the dust of the earth, and they will have no permanent resurrection. But they which are earthy, but also bear the image of being heavenly, oh glory to God, even though we bury this body or cremate this body, whatever happens to it, they have another identity. You see, they look like two Adams. Now, if you've got spiritual sight tonight, you'll be able to look at me and I'll be able to look at you and see that in you, about you, you look like two Adams. The first one and the second one. So you are earthy and you're heavenly at the same time. Glory. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, as is the heavenly. Such are they also that are not will be, not going to become, but they are actually heavenly right now. Y'all agree with me that you are earthy. How are you earthy? Because you were born an earthly being. You were born on the earth. How have you become heavenly, Brother Jim? Because you came from heaven, born of heaven, going to go back to heaven, and then merge when heaven and earth comes together in the millennium. Don't you see what the millennium is? It's only a merging of what God has already done in your soul by the Holy Ghost. It's when heaven comes down the eighth day, when the city will come down. It's already happening in the bride. Notice in verse 49, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall. Now watch the future part of this. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. So what kind of image will that be? Is it the aurora blue, or is it the color of stars? Is it the color of the planets? Huh? If I'm on about the image of the heavenly, is it the noise that the heavens make when they stick their microphone out of the space shuttle or the station up there, and it's making this peculiar, strange noise which hums at a very variable type of frequency as the universe is functioning there the way God made it? Is that what I'm going to be? I'm going to sit and go, and I'm bearing the image of the heavenly. Well, will it be a blue? Will it be the little razor thin thing that the astronauts, as they look over the earth and the ozone layer that makes the earth this protected place that God placed on the earth? And those of you that have seen pictures of that as they go up and look back, and I saw a Christian Science the other day, or astronaut it was, one of the first ones that went up, and he said, it's so amazing. He said, when you get up in the shuttle and you turn and you look back and you see that little blue film that hangs over the top of the earth, and you realize that's what allows this earth to have life. And I looked at that and I thought, Lord God, how great you are, because you protect it out there on the earth to protect it from the extreme heat and the extreme cold. If you've done that to the earth, you've got something around your children that'll protect her from backsliding. You've got something around your children that'll protect her from falling away. Why? He has an interest in you, my friends. You have borne the image of the earthly. You shall also bear the image of the heavenly. So bury this body. Bury this body. What do you want to do with it? You will not keep it down. I will come forth again. Oh my, how many have I buried since I've been here as your pastor? They're laying in cemeteries all around these Tri-Cities area. Bearing the image of the earthy, I walked in front of you as you wept over your mama, your daddy, your children, with unanswered questions, trying to figure out, why did God take my child? Why did God do this and why did God do that? Many times I have to say, I don't know either, but I know He does all things well. And we think, is this the end of it? Is this the end of it? No, this is not the end of it. There is an image of the heavenly. Hallelujah. Notice this, 1 Corinthians 15:15. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Praise the Lord. In an atomos, a moment, a portion of time that is so small, it cannot be divided. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Wonder why it say I. Wonder why I didn't say the moving of a finger. Wonder why I didn't say the moving of a toe, which is where the body was at that time. Why would He move this movement up here in the head? In the twinkling of an eye. Whether or not you understand it, this is what we're waiting for. The twinkling of the eye. The feet have done moved. The legs, the thighs, the body, the arms, the tongues at Pentecost were right up here where? In the eye age, right up to the intelligence. Glory to God. Hallelujah. in the twinkling of an eye, which is the body's fastest movement. Now you think, what if God would have made your eyelids? Now your eyelids are a very special thing. What if God would have made your eyelids so that the muscles and the reflexes and the retractions of all your body in the way that they move, that they would move no faster than this? And that was wide open. And then whenever you get really slow, I mean, it's sort of like this. I mean, you're going to be killed when you will drive a car. Anything you do, you're going to get your head blown off or knocked off or whatever, because the time you close your eyes, you're dead. Why did God make our eyes so our eyes can bat? And they will bat so fast, most of us never even see the darkness as it... Because it happens so fast and it totally covers your eye. But it happened, oh glory to God, it happens so fast. Aren't you glad? Now what happens then when we're talking about those who sleep in Jesus? So by death they enter into this place to where their eyes are closed. But don't worry, they'll open again. In the age when the eye time is, not only will there be twinkling of eyes, but there will be opening of eyes. Because the dead in Christ shall rise first. When, my brother? Not at the finger age, not at the tongue age, but up here at the top. Up at the top, when the second Adam, as the Son of Man, has come back upon the earth and brought a message in the end time that will unite him and the bride together as one. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the uttermost, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Oh, glory to God. The dead shall be raised incorruptible. This is the resurrection in the second Adam. Now, the dead which raised in the general resurrection raised corruptible. They raised in the same body they sinned in. Now, it may not be exactly the same calcium, potash, petroleum, and cosmic life, but it will be the same image. A man dies 85 years old. He raises in the general resurrection in that looking body. A woman who dresses ungodly and filthy, and she lives all that life, and she dies an old woman. When she raises, she'll raise an old woman. The type of body they raise in proves where they're headed, judgment. But when the elect come, glory, we bury them at 55 and 75. And 85 and 95 and 105, and when they raise, they're all 18 to 20. Woo, glory! The type of body they raise in shows where they're going. They're heading to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Glory! Hallelujah! They're heading to the marriage supper. Why? He's done changed garment from being the high priest to be the Lion, and here he raises his queen to match his own body. Lord Jesus. For this corruptible, notice this corruptible must put on incorruption. So those of us that are alive, it's not that God will allow this house of clay to fall down and God will give me a new one. But this corruptible, he will speak and the rapture takes place. Now notice, this is corruption and this is incorruption. For the corruptible will put on incorruption. And this mortal will put on immortality. You know how that is. You're getting dressed. You're getting ready to go somewhere. Woo! Glory! Remember what we preached this weekend, the bride's having a bath and she's getting her feet washed. You know what that means, don't you? What are y'all doing? You get ready to take a bath. You're either getting ready to go to bed, you're getting ready to go to church. Hopefully you took a bath before you come to church. You're going to church, you're going to Walmart, you're going somewhere. You're getting cleaned up, washed up, ready to go up. Amen. Don't you understand why he's washing us, why he's cleansing us? All right, we're getting ready to change clothes. We're getting ready to change clothes when the mortal shall put on immortality. When this corruptible shall put on incorruption. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. You mean to tell me this scripture was not fulfilled when Jesus raised from the dead? He wanted to leave this part for his sweetheart. He could have fulfilled that part if he'd wanted to. But it was time released. You know, when you get medicine sometimes and you know, they give it to you, you take sleeping pills or melatonin or something like that, it'll come in a dual type of thing or whatever things you take medicine or you take allergy things and it'll say time released on the box. Well, that's the way the word is. It's been time released. God set it forth to start releasing the first little molecules of it 2,000 years ago. It's been releasing down the days of Luther, down the ways of Wesley, and sometimes it let out a little bit more, and sometimes it let out a whole big burst, but on the last day, he opened the whole pill. Amen. I mean, the whole pill just spread out everywhere. That's why the devil's attacking this message like never before. Why? He's trying to get your focus off the Word of God, but let them go on. Let them do what they want to do. Say what they want to do. You will keep your eyes right on the Word, because you're going to take the rapture by this Word. Lord Jesus. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed. Ah, good to the last drop. Do you understand when you're standing there in the bathroom combing your hair, driving on your way to work, wherever it is, and all of a sudden you become an immortal body? And for a few seconds, an immortal hand's driving your car. Woo! Lord, mercy! For a few seconds, an immortal body's sitting in an airplane seat or whatever it is that you're doing, and all of a sudden you're changed. Do you see what's happened? You just swallowed up death. What are you talking about death? Your death. You just ended death. Oh, glory to God. You just ended death and your body, it was swallowed up by you. And death cannot fear. Oh, hallelujah. It cannot touch you no more. Then all of a sudden we look around and say, oh, death, where is thy sting? You imagine the saints, and they go to, they'll look back and say, oh grave, where is thy victory? Woo, glory! You held my atoms until they turned to dust, then went from dust back to spirit, and you held me there for 1,000 years or whatever it was, but where is your victory now, Dad? I was nothing. I was totally gone. There was no ashes. There was no atoms. There was nothing left but the voice of my Creator, the second Adam, the quickening spirit, moved over this earth, and He gave me hands and gave me feet and gave me eyes. Where is your victory now, Dad? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look at the resurrection for just a little bit. Will the bride be gathered together in one place at the rapture? And will it be in the west? Now, you know, we should have been able to know by reading these questions that was being asked by these people following the prophet that we were in for a real deal once he left. Now, already in 1964, they're looking for a certain spot, a certain location. Now, if this was here when he was here, you know, we're heading for it once he's gone. You understand? Will the bride be gathered together in one place at the rapture? Now, for friends, this spirit had already started working. that the bride was going to be in one certain place, and of course they thought it was going to be out west since Brother Branham had moved out west. Notice this now. Nope.
Don't you love this theologian?
Nope. Nope. Don't have to be there. Yeah, the bride will be gathered together in one place. That is true. But not until the resurrection. See? For we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord. Ephesians or 2 Thessalonians 5, the 5th chapter, I believe it is. Which we are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. Universally. Oh. For the trumpet of God shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise and we shall be called up together with them to meet the Lord in there. Therefore the bride will all be together when it goes to meet the Lord. Listen carefully now. When it goes to meet the Lord. So it will be together, but it don't necessarily mean they'll all have to be sitting in one place like this because the bride is sleeping in the depths of the earth around the world from the Arctic to the tropics. Oh, praise God. From the Arctic to the tropics, from the east to the west, from the north to the south. He's got their bodies scattered all over the globe. They're totally impossible from the all come to the tabernacle. Totally impossible from the all come to Happy Valley. That's not even the purpose that he's got in his mind. It's a shame that he answered this question so fluently and people still believe it. Amen. Now notice this. Now the first thing happens when we're resurrected. I'm going to get on the airplane and then I'm going to go out and I'm going to kill that brown bear. And the first thing happens when we're resurrected, the ones which are a living will just still remain. The resurrection will set in first. The resurrection of those that are asleep. There'll be eye time again. An awakening time. And those which are asleep in the dust now, not those that are sleeping sin because they sleep right on. They don't awake for another 1,000 years. But those who are sleeping in the dust will be awakened first. These corruptible bodies are put on incorruption in the rapturing grace of the Lord. And then we'll all get together. And when they begin to get together, then we which are alive and remain. Now think, this covers 2,000 years from the cross. There will be literally millions that will be raising at one time. What auditorium would be big enough to hold them? What coliseum has man ever built where we could all get together? We get together in a dimension, not a building. Glory! Don't you understand the bride in every age already started gathering in the supernatural dimension by hearing the voice of God. They could hear it. They could hear the Rhema. Others studied Logos. They said, don't you understand, friend, why folks get so mad at preachers? Because they sat there with a carnal mind and all they hear preaching is Logos, Logos. The Logos can make you very mad. The Logos can get all over you. The Logos can be difficult to live. It can be difficult to comprehend. It can be difficult to understand. But when God speaks Rhema to you, all your doubts float away. Oh, Rhema will just bring you right down and humble you down. You say, oh, yes, Lord, it's the truth. And Logos will make you fight mad. You're ready. I mean, just to tear the preacher's nose off. Because Logos has that ability. But Rhema just really ministers to the soul. Oh. Notice this. These mortal bodies. Oh, my. When they begin to get together, then we which are alive and remain shall be changed. These mortal bodies will not see death. But just of a sudden. There'll be a sweep. Just a... Go over us. Oh my. Go over us. And you're changed. You mean that easy? Where's all this great hard difficult thing of, you know, straining and grunting and groaning and trying to... You mean all it'll be is just like a sweep. Just... And you know what I'm saying? If it's 56 years old with wrinkles and gray hair and all that sort of thing, and there you are in your body, and all of a sudden, sweet, just whoop, and I'm changed. I'm 18 years old. And not only that, I'm eternal. I'm not just reverted back to an 18-year-old Donnie. I don't want to be that because I'll get old again. But every bone in my body will be changed. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus said flesh and bones. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He didn't say flesh and bones. He said, handle me. See, I've got flesh and bones. The spirit has not flesh and bones as you see me have. You must have bones in your structure in order to keep it all there. And I don't know how to do it. How in the world will the calcium inside my bones be changed to an eternal substance? How in the world will the sinews and the muscles and my eyes and my eyelids and my hair? How in the world have you ever seen an eternal hair? Have you ever seen a set of eternal lips or an eternal nose? Oh my. But all of a sudden just poof. And it'll happen to thousands times thousands of millions that'll be happening of those that are alive on the earth. Just poof. Who but God could do such a thing? So a sweep goes over you and you're changed. You're turned back like Abraham was. From an old man to a young man. From an old woman to a young woman. What's this sudden change? And after a while, you're traveling. Uh-oh. My. So you're changed, and then you start traveling. You're not lost in space. You're not stranded on an island somewhere. But you're traveling. And you're traveling the same way you've traveled this way before. But you just don't remember it. Lord God, help me to be nice. What's this sudden change? And after a while, you're traveling like... Well, I guess you could travel like a thought. Since that's the way you traveled when you first came here. Now, how did you come to heaven, from heaven to here? It was not flesh. It was not atoms, petroleum, cosmic light, a little bit of, you know, cobalt and so much of caladium and so much of this. But you traveled from the mind of God as a thought. Said the day I was born, July the 9th, 1956. And Mama knew it was getting close and Daddy knew it was getting close. But all of a sudden, something traveled from the mind of God like a thought, because it was a thought. And it comes down, and then I'm born, and I start crying, and it went down inside of me. Representation. Mama never saw it. Daddy never saw it. Doctor could have been there. They could have x-rayed it, CT scan, all kinds of scans. They'd never seen it because the thought's invisible. So here I come from the presence of God, traveling like a thought. So when the change comes, here I get changed by the power of God. And I'm returning the same way I came. Lord God. Oh, glory. But this time, I take my body back with me. Oh, glory. Don't you see the prophet said, you come to this earth to get your hair color. You come to this earth to get your eye color. You come to this earth to get your size and your stature. You come as a thought. You come without eye color. You come without hair color, but you won't go back without it. Glory to God, you travel like a thought, and all of a sudden a sweep comes over you, and it moves you into a dimensional realm of travel. And all of a sudden, millions on the earth, and they enter into a realm that science has probed and looked at, and they know it's here, but they can't break into it. And they try to make spacecraft. They sent one up the other day. The fastest one that's ever flew. My, they got it up there so fine. It was going so good. And burn up right in the middle of the air. Cost us millions of dollars. Why? They keep looking for faster and faster and better and better. But God has saved so much of this sonic boom for his sonic children. They'll never be able to break into that to where they can think, I want to be in Johannesburg, South Africa, and poof, there I am. But God has reserved that for his elect in the last day, these time travelers that will move into eternity, and all of a sudden you are traveling like a thought. After a while, you're traveling like a thought. And you can see those then who are already resurrected. Oh, what an hour. Then we'll gather with them and then be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. Now I want you to notice, Brother Branham does not preach or teach that he will have a private resurrection first. Nor does he make room for a tent or for a return or this or that or the other. Come on to church. Don't get quiet on me. Now notice this. It's not necessary. If your uncle is buried down in southern Kentucky, that he has to be brought up in Indiana. Or buried in Indiana has to be taken to southern Kentucky. No matter where he is, them are dead in the sea shall rise from the sea. Those that were destroyed in the arena and eat up by the lions. Never even had a grave to put them in. But their bodies processed through the eliminated waste of a lion or a tiger. But God never forgot them. Praise the Lord. They were part of the second Adam. Why? Why, Brother Donnie? They were quickened by the quickening spirit. There is your real identity, friend. It's not this. This is not what's identified with Christ. It's not this part here. It's that soul of yours that's been changed by new birth. Oh, thank God. Notice he says, Lord Jesus, then they were destroyed in the arena, eat up by lions, those who sold in the fiery furnace, and not even bones will be left, or dust they shall rise. Whether they was in Rome, at the arena at Rome, or whether they were in the tropic jungles of the south, my, or the frozen regions of the north, they'll rise from the dead and be changed. Uh-oh. Rise from the dead and be changed. Now you know Jesus, life come into him at the tomb. But that body had to be changed. He couldn't just come back to life because he looked like he was 50 years old when he died. So he had to experience a body change. He had to be changed. Now what was it? He come? He must change himself first. It must begin. The metamorphosis must begin with him. He's the head of this new race. So he enters back into his body and a sweep, Lord have mercy, a sweep goes over him and he's changed back to a young man. Don't you understand what he's doing? He's experiencing the change for every elect member. Whether they are dead or whether they are alive, he is experiencing the change. It begins in Adam, and from Adam, everyone born by the breath of God will come forth. There is nothing that can stop you. Lord Jesus. From the dead and be changed, and the living shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and be caught up together. Look at the missionaries that died down there in the fields of Africa. Look at them that died up yonder in the frozen regions of the north. Look at them that died in the arena all over the world, in the Congo, all across the world. They died everywhere, in China, Japan, all over the world. And the coming of the Lord, not the coming of Brother Branham. I'm not looking for the coming of Brother Branham. I'm not looking for the coming of John or Peter or Paul. I'm looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Brother Branham is not preaching himself. He's preaching the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord will be universal. This rapture will. Watch the changing. There'll be two in the bed. I'll take one and leave one the same moment. Notice now, we're not talking about a resurrection that happens and then 30 days later or 40 days later. I know that's a belief in the message, but it's not a teaching from the message. There is no scripture, nor is there any message that teaches the bride will be here 30 days in the resurrection. Well, glory. Brother Donnie, I know I read a quote. I know you did. I've got it right here in front of me. But you didn't read it right. Glory. The church will all get together. Oh my, notice what's going to happen now. The coming of the Lord will be universal, this rapture. What's the changing? Two in the bed, I'll take one, leave one. Same moment. Two in the field, I'll take one, leave one. On the dark side of the earth. And on the light side of the earth, it'll be universal. Notice, not they're all gathering up, they're all getting plane tickets, or getting bus tickets, or getting all the same to come to Jeffersonville for a revival. They're coming to Happy Valley because the bride's move is on. The rapture is universal. They'll be over in the fields of Africa working, doing whatever in the daylight time. There'll be two of them out there working, one taking one left. We'll be on the dark side of the earth. You know, we'll be in the bed, you're sleeping. Why? It's all over the earth at the exact same time. Is it central time, eastern time? It's rapture time. I don't care what time zone it is, amen, it's rapture time. That's what it is, fast time. slow time, government time, Democrat time, whatever time you want to call it, it is rapture time for the bride. And it will happen at one moment universally all over the world. It's a universal rapture. Yes, the church will be together, but after
the resurrection and the rapture has set in. Has set in. Do all who go in the bride have to live within 1,500 miles of the tabernacle? Now, as I'm telling you, friends, this shows you what we were headed for. This shows you the mindset. Now, these people are not trying to be smart. I don't think they're trying to be ridiculous or, you know, none of that. I believe they are sincere. But what are they talking about? They are listening to the message of a prophet. Unlike me, a preacher, any other preacher. So, you know what they're doing? They're making these words infallible. And then they're reading into them and they're trying to surmise and trying to get all this out of there. And then when they go to ask any questions, no, that wasn't what I meant. No, I wouldn't mean it that way at all. No, if I said something to lead you that way, I was wrong in the way I said it.
Yes, sir.
What?
But notice they're sitting there listening to a prophet and they don't know if he's speaking in form of mystery. They don't know if God's revealed something to him because these people live outside the 1,500 mile radius. So they want to move in. I don't blame them. If I was out of the 1,500 miles and that's the way it's going to be, I'd be moving too, wouldn't you? Now watch this. Now in this, no, the bride doesn't have to be in any certain place. Many of them will be in the dust of the earth. They'll be around the earth. They'd be frozen in the snow in the north. Glory. And the dust of the tropical jungles. But when the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall arise, awaken and come out of the dust of the earth, no matter where they are. Now in this, the resurrection will be a universal. Everywhere, every creature on the ball of the earth that's in Christ will come forth with him when he comes. Notice now how it's all attached to Adam. They will come forth no matter where they are. If their bodies have been up there in the frozen parts of the north, and maybe they lived thousands of years ago, yet they believe the word. If there's 10 foot of snow, it don't make no difference. If they've gone back to the dust and went back to ashes, went back to gases, and went back to there's nothing left, whenever he comes, they will come with him. As I said before, the coming of the Lord is not just the coming of Jesus. It's you coming too. People don't realize that the coming of the Lord is you coming with him. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, then them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him when he comes. And not only are they coming, but your glory to God, your theophany's coming too. This coming of the Lord, friend, is not only the coming of Jesus. It's coming for the saints of God from under the sixth dimension there, under the altar of God. And your theophany, millions of theophanies are coming at the same time.
Oh, glory to God.
Notice this, everywhere, every creature on the ball of the earth that's in Christ will come forth with him when he comes, no matter where you are. Just think of the arena in the days of the early martyrs when those Christians that were thrown to the lion's den. Those lions kill the Christians and eat up their bodies. Yet they were scattered, the bodies and the wastage of the lion across the face of the earth. They bore the image of the earthy. And that earthy image could be scattered in the waste of a lion and rot and deteriorate. But because they bore the image of the second Adam. When the second Adam comes, you look and say, Lord have mercy, there's Paul, there's Justin Martyr, there's Aurelius, your body. I stood there in the catacombs of Rome when there's nothing left, nothing, absolutely nothing. That was the earthy that went back to earth and dust. But because they bore the image of the heavenly, when he comes back, they come back with him. So there's Paul, glory to God, they cut his head off. Peter crucified him upside down. Andrew died in the form of a cross, in the form of an X. All the different ones they mutilated and destroyed and done all they did. But whenever Jesus comes, there's Andrew, there's Peter, there's John, there's Paul. You know, there's so-and-so. Why? Because they were not only the image of the earthy, they were image of the heavenly. Let's stand.
I love this. Listen. You're made up of a substance that's unseen material. And God will give that substance back. Now you take like a cell and you break it down from a cell and it comes to a cell in a cell into an atom and a molecule on down like that and finally it ends up into the unseen. It goes from natural something that you can put your hands on to gases, from gases into acids, acids into gases, on back like that, to finally it winds up into one little thing, and that is spirit. And this spirit who has occupied these gases, it may not be the same gases. Can't you see why he said the graves will come open? He said, not like you think. Friends, in the resurrection morning, we'll not be able to go over there and we'll look at certain ones we buried over here and there'll be empty holes. No. No, I'd be a dead giveaway. He speaks. Whenever his blood fell there at Calvary, he claimed the entire earth and its gases. So if you're a good old Kentucky boy, he can go over on the side of a hill somewhere and pick up where nobody lives and grab your body right out of there. It don't take much. He don't take much to work with, no how. Little dust here, a little sprinkling there, a little bit, and you know, this, that, and the other. Don't take much. All he's got to do is just speak. And from the ashes, the kisses. And there your body. There won't be graves over here and graves over there and graves somewhere else and graves somewhere else. But millions, can you imagine? Millions. Millions getting bodies out of the earth. And the earth will not even look touched. It won't be like a big scoop and a big dozer. Come on, man, there's dirt. Oh, my, there's dirt all gone all around Happy Valley Church. And there's dirt gone all around this church and that church. No, you just grab a little here and grab a little there and grab a little over here. Notice it winds up to one thing, and that is spirit. And this spirit's occupied these gases. It might not be the same gases, but the features. Listen to this. I love this. The features of what you are will be exactly what they are again. The Spirit has controlled that. In other words, when you become a young man or a young woman, God takes a picture of you. Now, no matter how old and how wrinkled and how disfigured, whatever it might be, that'll wind right on down through, and this body may be destroyed, disfigured, burnt, eat up by lions, whatever it is. It was made up of gases, 16 elements of the earth. Calcium, potash, petroleum, cosmic light, and so forth. It goes to make up this body. The whole earth is filled with that. Don't think that it has to be the same red dirt. Some of them we bury over here in red clay. I don't see none of y'all that look as red clay, but bury them in. So y'all going to get up red men? A black man, if we bury him in a red dirt, is he going to get up a red man instead of a black man? Don't you see? It's the acids. The gases. And he speaks. The thing is, the spirit that lived in these houses. Do I have to live in the house that I'm in 209 Quail Run Court? Do I have to live in that house the rest of my life to say I'm a human being and I have a residence in that house? Cannot I go down to another place and get 2x6s and 2x10s and concrete and all that sort of thing and sheetrock and make another house? Made out of the same, oh glory to God, made out of the same substance of what's going to make it my home. It's not them certain tube floors. It's not that certain carpet. It's not that certain tile. Because I live in it is what makes it my house. So God picked me up out of a lumber mill down in Kentucky. Well, that don't mean God's got to go down there in Kentucky. I got to be buried in Kentucky again. If I'm buried over here at Happy Valley, God can go over here somewhere every once in a while on the top of our own mountain and just speak. He goes out of the lumber mill on top of the hill over at his spiritual lows, and he calls out for enough calcium, potash, petroleum, cosmic light, whatever more, and calls me a body out. And people look around for empty graves. Where's he at? There ain't none, because he called from the dust of the earth. Let me close. Listen to this. But now this picture is the main thing. Then in the resurrection, those gases and acids and things come right back into place and develop this picture again. Oh, Jesus. Now, this picture was not taken when you were 16 or 18 or 20 years old at your best. When was it taken? Before the foundation of the world? It was put in God's great file. And he's got it set up where it's tamper-proof, scam-proof. The devil can't erase it. It's in a permanent file. So God took a picture of all of his children, individual shots, no doubt, and group family photos as well. So God says, smile, young'uns. And before the world, all of his little thoughts, they were just gathered there in a cluster in his mind. He went, and then you as an individual. And God took him and he put him in his file. He said, that's my young'uns. Oh, I love them. I love them so much. I love them so much. I want to touch them. I want them to touch me. Look at them. You see them? That right there, his name is Abraham. And that's Isaac, it's Jacob, Moses, Brad, Skip, Jimmy, Janet, your sisters. That's my children. You see, we had to wait till our children were born to make our family album, but he didn't have to wait that long. He made his before his children was ever born. So he says, I don't care what they will do with you. They cannot destroy that profile. That picture in God's great gallery up there. Cannot destroy it. It's in heaven. You can burn it up, feed it to the lions, do it any way you want to. It'll come forth just as sure as two twos is four. Just as sure as God spoke it, it'll come forth. Let's pray together. Lord, I hope, I trust that my picture's there. I believe my picture is in your gallery. As I've been in museums, Lord, and seen in museums different parts of the world, different works of Rembrandt and different people that'd be worth millions and millions of dollars, even if you could buy them. Because it was painted, they say, by a master. By a master. They have securities and they have little things fixed on each of those things. If you touch them, it sends off a signal. Because it's worth so much. Oh, what about your great gallery? How you must have walked down through it, as we'd say, in your gallery when there was no angels, no cherubims, no seraphims. You walked down through your gallery and reached over and touched those images, as it were. These are my children. I want to touch them. I want to love them. I want them to love me. But you had to wait. You let one come and then another and then another. You've been waiting all these years. Here we are right at the top. When the whole thing is fixing to consummate in a bride. Lord Jesus, help us, Father. Paul is waiting on us. Peter, Brother Branham. Help us, Lord, that we'll run the race with patience. The baton, as it was handed down from one generation to another to another. And here we are, the last runners, we believe, on the scene. The race has been long. It's been hazardous. It's been difficult. Some of the runners got killed along the way, but they were able to pass the baton from one to another to keep it going. And here we are, the lights of home are in sight. Lord, we're panting hard and we're perspiring as it was. And we feel we're almost at the end of our strengths. But the finish line is right in front of us. And the whole race, really of all of them, is depending upon the last runner. Since this is not an individual running, it's a team. So it's not just if Donnie Reagan wins. The whole team must win. So may we see, Lord, we're not living this life just for ourselves. It's for all of those that are on our team. Help us, Lord Jesus, I pray. If there's a one here tonight, Lord, that is born the image of the earthy, but they have not bore within their soul the image of the heavenly, may something happen to them in a supernatural way, quickening them, O Adam, second Adam, quickening spirit, to bring forth living young. May your breath breathe in this place tonight, Lord. If there's some that's weak and discouraged, some down. Lord, I've got someone in my heart tonight. Lord, you know who they are. Dear God, I pray for that individual. Lord Jesus, you'd strengthen them. Father, you know what they're going through. May you help them in a supernatural way, Lord. Each person here tonight, those that are streaming the service, those that are here, may you minister to your children. Grant it, Lord. Can we just raise our hands in the presence of God? Whatever you have need of, your priest is in the building tonight, his presence, by his spirit now. He's here to minister to you. Healing, strength, deliverance from oppression, deliverance from attitudes or whatever it is. May he just come and may you allow him. Remember, Jesus is a perfect gentleman. If you do not want his help, he will never force it on you. He will offer it. He will make his means available. But you must invite him. If you're strong-willed, stubborn, hard-headed, think you can do it on your own, he will stand right there by you for years. Years he will stand there with an unlimited power to help you. But you tie his hands because you don't ask him to. Oh, why don't we just open our hearts to him tonight, Lord. Help me. Help me, Jesus. Friends, this race is greater than us. It's bigger than us. There is no way that we can cause to happen what needs to happen in this day. There is no way we can cause the resurrection ourselves. Absolutely impossible. We cannot study the word well enough. We cannot know the message well enough. It will take the dynamic power of God to make it happen. We can live the word and live a godly life, but there's no way we can bring to pass this. It's out of our hands. Oh, praise God. Praise God. I love you, Lord Jesus. I worship you tonight, Lord God. Thank you, Father, that that grave couldn't hold you, Lord. And I thank you tonight, Lord, that old worldly grave couldn't hold us either. We've done raised from the dead. This is why a true Christian don't worry about death. This is why we don't worry about the chains. Because really the new birth was even a greater miracle than my body change. Hallelujah. If we could only understand it tonight. When Brother Branham saw that in the rising of the sun and the Easter seal, and to hear him preach it, that's why people spiritualized it and thought the change was already over, because he placed such an emphasis on it. Because he saw once we raised out from the dead in our soul, the resurrection was no problem whatsoever. The rapture was no problem whatsoever. If you were able to change our soul and give us a new birth, the change of the body is hardly nothing to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Until that time comes, strengthen us. Give us courage. Help us when we're weary. Lord God, we pray for Brother Doug McKinney's family tonight, Lord, his friends. A couple of brothers here in the church, Lord, you've gotten really close to. And I pray for them. I know it's a loss for them and a church family, Lord. One by one, they're slipping across, Lord. Lord Jesus. We know one day those bells will ring for us. May we be ready, Lord God. Hallelujah. And the saint said,
amen.
Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know the kids got school tomorrow and you got to work tomorrow, but let's just take just a couple minutes before we go. Praise the Lord. Our Adam is in our midst tonight. Life giver. Creator. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There's a land beyond the river that we call the sweet forever. And we only reach that shore by faith's decree. One by one we gain the portal there to dwell with the immortal. When they ring those golden bells for you,
Let's sing it together. Hallelujah. Oh, don't you hear bells now ringing? Can't you hear the angels singing? Brothers, it's a glory, hallelujah, jubilee. Bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. Funeral director, call me this afternoon before church. And maybe some of you know and some of you don't. Funeral service will be here at the church. Viewing on Friday afternoon. Funeral service will be at 7 o'clock. And then the burial will be Saturday at 11. So if you want to come and be able to be with the friends and the family that are here on Friday evening. And then the service and then the committal will be there. He said we'd meet at the funeral home at about 10:30. Memorial will be doing that. So just remember them that God will just be with them and strengthen them.
You love Him tonight? Was it good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. God bless you. Brother Darrell, would you come, Betty, and dismiss us in prayer? God bless you, saints. Loving the Lord. I'll see you this weekend, Lord willing. Oh, I don't mind telling you. The Lord's been giving me some real things I think you're going to enjoy this weekend. Hallelujah. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just so grateful for the words that we have heard tonight. Lord, the things that people down through the ages have probed at, looked at, desired to see, Lord, you kept these things within yourself, dear God. But in this hour, Lord, you have shared these great things with us. We are so grateful for that, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that the things that we have heard, dear Lord, may they not just be words that we hear with our ears, but may they be things that we manifest with our lives, dear God. And Lord, as we leave the building tonight, Lord, on our jobs tomorrow and the different things, Lord, of the rest of the week, may these things that we have heard, Lord, may we meditate upon them, dear God. I pray, dear Lord, that your Spirit would go with us, traveling grace to those, Lord. Father, may we gather back again this weekend to feed on your table once more, Lord. We are so grateful, Father, that you provided for us in this hour such a wonderful 7-course meal. Oh, God, that we may eat the vitamins we need, Lord, for a mighty change. We love you, dear God. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. Dismiss in the fear of the Lord.
I'm going home. I'm going soon.
Oh.